in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to left circle. Passy to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, happy Wednesday. Let's get things going on this Wednesday, September 18th. We are underway on Flames Talk this hour. Steinberg and Vickers from our Groundworks downtown studio. Hello, AV.
Hello, PS.
It's that time. It is the eve of training camp 2024, or perhaps day one of training camp, depending on
how are you navigating that? Because I think day one should be on ice.
That's how I look at it.
Okay, good.
So I consider Thursday to be day one of training camp, and on this Wednesday, fitness testing, and they announced the training camp roster. They released the training camp roster with 64 players involved, or 64 players taking part in training camp, three groups to start things off, and honestly, no real surprises, no surprise PTOs, no surprise names on there. We already knew Tyson Berry was coming to camp. We knew they signed Jared Tenorti, so on and so forth. So training camp rosters have been released. Check it out on the Flames website or Vix's Twitter at AA Vickers, my Twitter, whatever the case may be. We've got it all out there. And as we get ready for the start of training camp, and as we get ready for the first on-ice sessions at 9 o'clock Thursday morning at Winsport, it feels like we talk about goaltending nonstop on this program. So let's talk goaltending, because why would we break this theme or trend now? Because our talk with Frank Saravalli on Tuesday's show just added a little bit more intrigue and a little bit more fuel to the fire in terms of what goaltending might look like this year for the Flames. I think the situation with the three goalies they have, the three NHL-ready goalies, or the guys that they look at as NHL options, and Dan Vladar, Dustin Wolf, and Devin Cooley, I think the balance of those three and the utilization of those three and just how it works with that trio of guys is maybe a little bit more complicated or a little less cut and dried than it might look on the surface. Because I think on the surface, and tell me if I'm wrong, but on the surface, I think that the general consensus is Vladar, Wolf, NHL, Cooley, AHL, cut and dried, and go about your business. And it feels like that's kind of the overwhelming consensus as to how this thing might work. That similar to kind of the vibes you're picking up?
To me, this is the biggest question mark heading into camp. And you talk to anybody around the organization and there's excitement and maybe a little bit of trepidation with the goaltending situation, with how unknown it is on the eve of the first on-ice session for training camp. Because you could pitch to me that on October 9th, Dustin Wolf is your start opening day.
Okay,
starter.
But just before we go there, is that kind of what you've heard from, like, if
yes.
You're on social media, that
yes.
Like that's what the overwhelming consensus is?
It
that...
seems like that's the sort of incumbent thought.
Okay.
But that, to me, that comes as much from the tail end of last season as it does from anywhere. Because when you look back and you head into the offseason, you go, yeah, the Calgary Flames are going to trade Jacob Markstrom and it's going to open up a spot for Dustin Wolf, and then you run Wolf Vladar. And what really sort of thrown a wrench into this is them signing Cooley to a two-year deal,
yeah.
And the second year of that two-way deal is a one-way contract. They clearly see something in Devin Cooley. Had they not gone out and got Devin Cooley, this is cut and dry. This is close the door, it's done.
I do think it is a little bit more... or a little bit less cut and dried as a result, because you've got uncertainty with all three guys. Let me just play you this from Craig Conroy on Monday when he joined us from Penticton and talked about the goaltending situation.
People have asked me, what are you most interested in? And I would probably say the goaltenders. You know, they're all excited. They're all ready. They're all ready up to the challenge, and they want to prove, hey, they know this might be the best chance that they're ever going to have. You know, who knows? But they believe that each and every one of them believes they're going to be the one to grab a hold of this and take that job. And that's what I like. I mean, they're excited. They're, you know, Vladdy was sending me after, you know, obviously with the surgery, sending me videos of himself when he was over. And just to hear him say, I can finally go down pain-free and get back up. He said, I wish maybe I would have done it a little bit earlier. But again, a young guy, you don't want to take yourself out of the NHL, and you're going to fight through everything. But so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does and how these young guys do. And I do think it's going to be a real battle. I mean, each of them in their own way understand what's at stake. And I can't wait to see it. I think all our fans should be excited to see it too, because they're all young guys, and this is the future, of the Flames goaltending.
So there's Craig Conroy in terms of, you know, kind of what he said, the thing that he keeps getting asked, or like what's the thing that interests you the most? Or I know when you asked him in Penticton, you kind of phrased it as the thing that keeps you up most at night. How is this all going to play itself out? And all three goalies have some sort of intrigue or uncertainty or unknown around them, right? Dan Vladar is the most experienced at the NHL level, but we don't know what his return from hip surgery is going to be like when it comes to him playing in the NHL. We know he's feeling better. We know that he no longer has pain when he goes down into the butterfly, and we know that the expectation from him is that this will be a big thing for him in getting his game back to where he wants to be. But we don't know how long that's going to take, or if it's going to take, or whatever the case may be. Dustin Wolf has never played in the NHL full-time. Is he ready to take on all the rigors that go along with being a full-time NHLer? Same thing with Devin Cooley. He's never been in the NHL full-time. So there's just a lot of unknown and a lot of uncertainty when it comes to this goaltending situation, which is a big reason why it isn't as cut and dried a situation as perhaps it might look or might have looked like on the surface going back a few months ago.
You can pull two names out of a hat, and whatever two names you pull could be in consideration for your 1-2, your goaltending tandem, when the puck drops on the regular season. I can certainly see a clear path to Dustin Wolf being an opening day starter. Same for Dan Vladar. It's a little bit of a longer road for me to wrap my head around Devin Cooley being the opening night starter, but we've heard time and time again from the time that he signed his 2-year deal to join the Calgary Flames organization, the team believes in him. Jordan Sigalette believes in him. And the other thing that we've heard on Devin Cooley, actually, that I'll just quickly toss out, and it's a Kevin Woodley special, is how receptive Cooley is to new training techniques or tweaking his games, things of that sort. So the Calgary Flames clearly look at Devin Cooley and see something that they can work with, and had made him a priority signing in free agency, and he requires waivers. So there's so many elements to each goaltender's individual situation, whether it's the 23-year-old Dustin Wolf, who doesn't require waivers, as you mentioned, the 27-year-old Dan Vladar, who just coming off hip surgery and is pain-free for the first time in a couple of seasons. And then there's the new guy, if you will, the 27-year-old Devin Cooley as well, coming in from, I believe, his third NHL organization now, who has just 6 games of NHL experience to his credit, but certainly was a goaltender the Flames coveted.
The interesting thing for me is that you've got, you mentioned Wolf not, well, there's lots of interesting things, but Wolf not needing waivers. The other two do need waivers. I just wanted to address one thing. You know, you talked a little bit about Cooley and how much they like him, all that type of stuff. There's been a lot of questions. Like, you look at his numbers, you look at his NHL experience, like, why are people talking about Devin Cooley the way they are? All I know is that the goaltending fraternity, Kevin Woodley, Jordan Sigalette, other goaltending people who know the position significantly better than I do, or significantly better than most people do.
Yep.
They rave about this guy and how he's a late bloomer, how his athleticism and the kind of overall package of skills, they really see big things in Cooley's future. So there's never a guarantee with this silly position, but the goaltending people think there is a significant amount there. And as a result, the Flames and many others are very excited about him, to the point that, or to the extent that, I think there will be some concern if they do decide to put him on waivers. If that's what they feel they have to do, I think there will be a kind of uneasy 24 hours to see whether or not he's going to clear.
Well, as you mentioned, his mobility. Don't forget his size. He's 6'5", 192 pounds. He covers a lot of net and is able to move fluidly. And if you identify some characteristics in his games that are not quite red flags, but areas you want to work on, and you as a coaching staff believe that you can address those and you can fix those, whether that be over the summer or whether that's going to take half a season or whatever it is, there's no secret that the Calgary Flames targeted Devin Cooley as a signing. And it really, to go back to your original question off the top, really throws things into flux because it was almost so automatic that we were looking at a Vladar-Wolf tandem 4 months ago that now
until they sign Cooley.
And now it becomes a legitimate question of, okay, well, which two are going to earn a job? Or is there the opportunity, and nobody in the history of time has ever enjoyed this, but three goalies in the NHL for the time being as you're trying to sort some things out?
Well, let's go through some of the different options here, because I do think the biggest fly in the ointment is Cooley. So let's say, I think if the Flames were to have it their way, and this is no disrespect to Devin Cooley, but if the Flames were to have it their way, it would play out in camp with Vladar, Wolf clearly being the guys in the NHL, and Cooley would be the number three to start the season. I think that's the way they would like it, because they'd like to see Vladar clearly be in a much better situation, and that new, more flexible hip and more open to rotation, all that type of stuff. These are all goaltending terms that I only steal and don't really know what they mean. But if that is all where they want it to be, okay, that's good news. And Dustin Wolf is clear, like, hey, Wolf is playing so well in training camp. Like, he's clearly, he needs to be on the NHL roster to start the year. If these things happen, that's good, which would make the new guy, Cooley, number three, because he's not a guy who's drafted. He's a little bit younger. He's got less experience, all that type of stuff. But I think the Flames are going to need to be, and I think they know this as well, either going to need to be strategic in terms of how they do their waivers, because if it ends up being that Cooley is the number three guy and they don't want to carry three goaltenders, or they don't want to do that indefinitely, then I think they have to time their waiver decision very, very strategically. And I think that's going to be the most important thing, because if we're talking about the last day of camp and kind of that last day before you can put guys on waivers before your NHL roster is set, and we're talking about a couple of teams that have goaltending injuries, the Flames will have the luxury with zero cap worries to keep three goalies. And I know that's not ideal for practice reasons. We all get that having three full-time on an NHL roster is silliness, and teams don't like to do it long-term. But if you've got to do it for a week and a half or 2.5 weeks or whatever the case may be, so that you can time your waiver decision a little bit better, I think they'll be open to doing it. And so that's something to watch for. It wouldn't be a complete shocker if the Flames open camp with all three guys on the roster, just because you might want to be careful with that. And if you can usually guess when a team is going to be claiming, when a team won't claim. So something like that is something to keep an eye on for sure. And so I guess when I ask the question, if I throw the question out there, would they carry three goaltenders? The answer is they don't want to, I don't think, but I believe they would if it meant they could give themselves just a few more options for a little bit more time.
There's always that 1 or 2 day stretch where you see 75 to 125 guys hit the waiver wire, and it's very procedural to get guys to AHL camps or to trim your roster down to a more manageable size as you get through.
Also, when we see the most claims, right?
But that is also, you very rarely are you able to sneak a guy through that from another GM not paying attention to that list. They're fully aware. And if you're a team, one of the other 31 teams in the NHL that has a groin pull in training camp, or you get a look at maybe your young guy that you thought could graduate to the NHL ranks and be a backup, and go, oh, he did not come to camp in shape, or he is not impressing, so another year in the AHL might suit him. There are teams that will be looking at that waiver wire going, is it worth it for us to dip in there? And Logan Cooley, I could see being an attractive name, despite the numbers. And again, 3.77 goals against average and an .891 save percentage in 14 games with Rochester in the AHL, and a .498 goals against and an .870 save percentage in 6 games with the Sharks. But teams and goalie departments and scouts don't scout the box score. They scout the player and the goalie. And I am of the belief, as you are, that Devin Cooley is a guy that will be on a lot of teams' radars, regardless of the fact that he signed with the Calgary Flames.
And I think teams will pounce on waivers in situations like that if they've got an injury. And so, you know, I was thinking about this, what I think would be an option, and I think this is the way the Flames will be thinking about it, just based on some talks I've had around the league and stuff like that, and with people in the org, like, I think you're kind of in a situation where you know when goalies are going to get claimed, right? Like, you know that if a team's got an injury and they haven't filled it yet, and all of a sudden one of those names goes on there and there's only one of them, they'll probably pounce. And so you kind of have to watch during training camp and see how that plays itself out. Again, if it plays out that Cooley is the guy that goes on waivers, because who knows? I mean, as you mentioned right off the top, Dustin Wolf is waiver exempt. So I don't think it's completely out of the question that he sees some time in the American League, if only for flexibility reasons, if that's the way they want to go about it. Frank Saravalli threw out on Tuesday's show, you know, would it be completely out of the question that they put Vladar on waivers and see if he passed through? And that's not completely out of the question. They have lots of options. And so the whole thing, I think, is going to be really strategic how they do it. And specifically on Cooley, if they end up going that direction, I do think that they'll do it when there's far lesser of a chance for a goalie to be selected. And if that means they have to wait a couple of weeks, or they have to do it early or earlier than normal, I think they're going to be open to doing that.
Well, and there's a scenario too where Vladar and Cooley are the two best goalies in camp, clearly. And so you've got a 23-year-old Dustin Wolf that you still need to get game action to. And I understand he's a two-time AHL goalie of the year, one-time MVP, CHL, WHL goalie of the year, all that, has done absolutely everything he can at the AHL level. But if you're looking to clear up, if you're looking to make sure that your 23-year-old stud goalie prospect is still getting time, the fact that he's waiver exempt, as much as the organization won't like it, as much as the player won't like it, I don't necessarily, you wouldn't hesitate to make sure that he's playing games somewhere as opposed to working this weird three-goalie rotation in the NHL.
Yeah.
But again, then to go back to another scenario, there's a chance where Dan Vladar is your third best goalie coming out of camp, and he's coming off a hip surgery. And is he an easier candidate, perhaps, in your eyes, if you're the Calgary Flames, to sneak him down to the American Hockey League to help continue his rehab and getting him back on track after his hip surgery? Is he an easier option to get to the Wranglers than Devin Cooley? Are you willing to risk Dan Vladar more than Devin Cooley at this point? Like, these are all questions that I think, for the most part, will play out and be answered over the course of training camp. But this is what makes the goaltending situation so intriguing for me, and from my perspective, probably the biggest competition in camp, because you've got one net, two if you want to count the backup spot, but you got three goalies, as we heard Craig Conroy say, that believe that they can be a starter in the NHL.
Yep.
And we're going to find out which one that is over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. Sorry to cut you off.
And just to stretch a little bit, I just need to show something to the producer. Keep going.
Okay. As we roll through the unveiling of the rosters for training camp, Team Crisp has Dustin Wolf and Valtteri Ignatiev. The next group, Team McNeil, has Cooley and Vladar going head-to-head. So if we're looking at things and we're wondering how this battle plays out, you've got Cooley and Vladar going head-to-head on the same team. And I wonder if that isn't a show me audition type situation as well.
I don't think there's.
You think that was by design?
Potentially it is by design. Typically, when they do put their training camp groups together, it is by design. So, I think that is absolutely a possibility when you take a look at those numbers and those the way things are broken down. So it's an interesting thing to sink your teeth into, and I'm curious to see how this plays itself out. It's Steinberg and Vickers along with you here on Flames Talk on a Wednesday. Couple of pieces of news from the Flames on this Wednesday. Number one, they have signed Cole Schwint to a one-year contract at $800,000. It's 1 year two-way, so Cole Schwint is signed ahead of training camp. That leaves Ilya Solovyov, as we talk right now, as the lone unsigned RFA. And they have hired Matt Stajan as their new skills consultant. This came down a little bit earlier on Wednesday. Flames have hired Matt Stajan as a skills consultant on the hockey staff. He's going to be responsible for working daily with the Flames and Wranglers in honing their individual skill development. So why don't we go right to the source? Because lo and behold, Matt Stajan is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. After 2 years as an assistant coach at the Calgary Hitmen, now a skills consultant on the hockey staff for the Calgary Flames. Stage, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. It's good to hear your voice. Congratulations on the new deal. Tell us a little bit about a new job. What? How did this all come about in you becoming a skills consultant with the Flames?
Yeah, well, I've worked with the Hitmen for the last 2 years as an assistant, and then last season I kind of took a step back from being on the bench and was more in a skills and development role with the Hitmen, and I'll continue to do that. But this summer, yeah, talking to Connie and Husk, they wanted to bring in a new role for the players, where someone could help them with, details. Individual skill that sometimes gets overlooked. You know, the assistant coaches and the coach staff have so much on their plate already with game planning and you know, game prep and all pre-scouts. So bringing another guy in, I think the majority of NHL teams have someone. The Flames wanted to add that to their staff, so I went in for an interview with Husk, and I'm fortunate to be brought on to join the staff, so I'm excited to get going.
So tell us, as you mentioned, you spent the two seasons as an assistant with the Hitmen, and then last year was more of a skills role with them. Tell us kind of how the last 3 years have gone for you and how you've enjoyed the next step in your hockey career and getting into coaching and skills and all that type of stuff.
I've enjoyed it. It's been, at the end of my career, the role I was in as a fourth line center and being accompanied by call-ups and guys who would battle me on the fourth line, I'd be in a role where I would want to help those guys and try and, playing well and give them confidence to grow their game. And that's kind of how I was on my way out, but I wanted to be able to help, guys that were coming in. And so it's kind of a natural fit when I've done, you're in a different role. So to me, it's all about relationships. Obviously the X's and O's of the game and game planning are important. And, I've learned a lot in the last few years and I'll continue to do so. But being able to work off of what I learned late in my career as a player, how to talk and communicate and have relationships with players, went into my coaching, career, and here I am working my way up and right there with the Flames now.
So what do you have a fairly good idea of kind of like what the specific duties are going to look like now?
Yeah, so it's kind of a work in progress as to exactly, because I'm kind of an extension of the coaching staff. So I'll be working with the coaching staff with the Flames. And I won't be traveling on the road, but I'll be working with guys who are coming back from injury or are staying back, and I'll be the guy to help them out. But I'll be on every practice with the Flames and kind of an extension of the coach staff. But I'm also, a resource for the players. Sometimes, especially as a young player coming in, the coaches have a lot on their plate and maybe a little bit more intimidating going to the head coach when you need work on something and they have enough on their plate. So I'm a resource for them to, I can work with them and kind of get some dialogue going on what they need to work on. And not just from a player standpoint, but the coaches are also giving me some input on what they think certain players need to work on. And I'll be watching games to help guys. And that's what kind of, use the extra time that you get, the little extra time that you get during an NHL season. We'll try and help the players, get better and work on their game. So that's kind of the role. I'm excited to get going, and we'll see how it goes here and kind of, find details of how it's going to exactly go.
Yeah, we're chatting with Matt Stajan, new skills consultant with the Flames here on Flames Talk on this Wednesday, Vix.
Stage, I'm just wondering how familiar you are with the players that you'll be working with. You've been around the arena for the last 3 years, and a quick pull-up of the roster. just shows Michael Backlund a very young Rasmus Anderson. And funny how the hockey world works, Ryan Lomberg is teammates that you'll now be working with.
Yeah, it is. That will be a learning curve for me. I like any coach coming in, I do know, you know, the staff around the team. So that's an easy transition for myself. But yeah, there's only three or four guys that I kind of knew from my days. I know Nazem Kadri a little bit from Toronto, and he was coming in there as a young guy. So there's a few guys, but yeah, I'll get to know the guys and work with them. And, you know, I think when people think skills coach, everybody's like, okay, he's going to do, you know, the stick handling and the dangling and use the danglers and all that hard skill that we see everything on Instagram. That's yes, you do that stuff, but at the NHL level, everybody's able to do that stuff. Maybe you're fine-tuning those skills all the time as a hockey player. You do that from a young age. It'll be more, you know, details of the game where you try and help guys with, where, you know, play along the boards, you know, working to get the puck out, just little details, play around the net. That's the kind of stuff I'll be focusing on. And saying that, I'll be working with the coaches. So, like, all the assistant coaches, Husk, like, we're going to have a plan as to how we go and utilize me towards each player, because everybody needs something a little bit different. And it's a long season, and at different times, so there'll be different things that come up that the team or certain guys can really use some work on.
What will that conduit be like, going, working with players and working with the coaching staff, and almost maybe being a little bit like a liaison? Because that was kind of your role a little bit in your final seasons with the Calgary Flames as well as a player.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's basically the communication and the relationship you build. And I think that hockey's come a long way. Like, the coaching staff and the players, you're all one team. You're all in it together to work together. No one's against each other, even though sometimes you may feel that way as a player, where you don't know who to trust. And if you're not getting played, maybe you get a little bit upset. But I think everybody's in together to help get the most out of the team and each individual player. And that's the way I approach it. So the players, hopefully they have trust in me that I'm there for the right reasons. And I think they should have trust in the whole coaching staff, because that's why we're there. But, you know, sometimes it's a little bit easier to come to a guy who's maybe not on the bench all the time. Maybe a guy who's watching from above has a different perspective. And, you know, if I am watching something during a game and I have, you know, some dialogue with a certain player, I can work with them and give them my feedback. So it's just an extra set of eyes to look at different details of the game. And the majority of NHL teams now have this. And I think, you know, it's a lot of it's going to be, you know, as a player, you know, you go through ups and downs during a season. And when your confidence is low and things aren't going well, sometimes you can't get out of that rut, and it takes time. But hopefully I can be a guy that could help guys turn their game around quickly when maybe things aren't going well. I can do some things with them and spark their game so that, you know, when you are having a couple bad weeks during the season, you could snap out of it and build that confidence back up. Because, you know, it's a long season, but at the same time, when you're playing with confidence and have that energy, you're just a better player, plain and simple. And that's kind of what my focus will be on.
Just a couple more for you, Matty. It's Matt Stajan with us, new Flames skills consultant on this Flames coaching staff for the coming year. What, you've been with the Hitmen for 3 years now. You did some coaching. You've done some skills. Have you honed in kind of exactly where you're thinking the post-playing career is going to go, or are you still kind of in the exploratory stages?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling my way out, tell you the truth. I'm just trying to keep growing my mind. I've really enjoyed the coaching. I really enjoyed being a coach. And the one thing I battle, honestly, is just time away from my family. My kids are young. So the traveling, when you're traveling all the time, I don't want to be doing that while my kids are at the age they're at. And maybe when they're older, I can dive more into being a guy who travels a lot. And that's kind of what I learned with the Hitman job. But down the road, I could see myself, you know, continuing to grow as a coach, and maybe one day taking on more of a role as a head coach or an assistant coach, depending on where things go. But I also want to learn, like, the development side of the game. working with junior guys the last few years. Like, I really like helping those aspiring pros at the junior level or guys who are just drafted. So I think I could be very helpful in a development role as well. So I'm just trying to learn the ropes, the truth, you know, sit in on meetings. And, you know, you learn so much from the coaches I've been around, the guys with the Hitmen I was with, the guys with the Hitmen now, you know, and then obviously with Husk's staff now, I'll be learning so much about the details and, you know, the way things go as a coach. Because as a player, you're really just focused on yourself, and you're focused on the team and what the team game plan is. But your priority is to make sure that you're ready to go every single night. As a coach, it's completely different, and I feel like I'll continue to learn and you know, just ask questions. I think I have a great relationship with Connie. Obviously, I played with him, and you know, I've been straight up with him. If I could sit in on meetings and just kind of keep listening and learning, you know, that's something, you know, you keep growing. And who knows where that takes me down the road.
Last one, Matty, and I know we've probably talked about this 10, 15, 20 times since you were traded here. But, you know, when you got dealt here, I know that you probably weren't thinking that, hey, this is going to be the place where, you know, me and Katie set down roots and raise a family. And I even remember talking to you the day that you announced your retirement, and you were like, we don't know exactly where it's going to go. And yet here you are, you're still in Calgary, and you've been with CSEC, with the Hitmen, and now you've taken a job with the Flames. Does it continue to amaze you how you remain connected to this city?
It doesn't surprise me because we absolutely love it here. I think, you know, this is home for us. You know, our kids were born here. They've grown up here and they'll continue to grow up here. We you know, just built a house here and just love everything about the city. So this is home and maybe 10 years ago, a little bit in the back of your mind, like, where are we going to for sure settle? But as time has gone on, it's been a no-brainer for us. We just love the people in the city, and just the whole city's been a great place to live. And I think anytime someone comes out to visit us here, and they see why, because I think we're very fortunate that it's a special place.
We'll let you go. I know you got to bounce. Really appreciate the time today, Matt. Congratulations on the new gig. That's cool. Well, I guess we'll see you on Thursday at Winsport, hey?
Yeah, we'll see you guys around the rink. You'll see me on the ice in my tracksuit. So we'll see you guys there.
Thanks, Tage. Appreciate the time, hey?
Okay. Thanks, guys.
It's Matt Stajan, who has joined the Flames as a skills consultant. And it's a cool... It's been a really cool thing to see how Matt's just tried some different things post-playing career. You know, yep. He jumped in and talked about how, you know, riding the buses and being away from home and the kids and the family for long periods of time with his kids at this age. And we know how important family's always been to the Stajans. So that was tried that for 2 years. It's like, okay, maybe that's not for me right now. So he kind of turned into this or his role turned into more of a skills job, still a coaching-ish job with the Hitmen this past year, and then now going to be similar with the Flames. Not traveling, but still getting to work with the team and home practices and all that type of stuff. I think it's cool to see how things have gone for Matt Stajan since he decided to hang him up.
And cool to see his evolution into a Calgarian, to be honest. He kind of got plopped here with that trade with Dion Phaneuf and became a Calgary Flame, and lo and behold, well, how many years ago was that now? Are we talking about 18-ish? Somewhere in there? And came to Calgary, never left. As he called it, a no-brainer for him and his family to remain in Calgary.
Thanks to Matt Stajan. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg along with you on this Wednesday. And as we're on the eve of Flames training camp, we're also on the eve of training camps around the league. And things getting going on Thursday. On-ice sessions begin around the league on Thursday. And we might as well preview what's happening around this division. It's time to check back in with our Pacific Division insider for the first time this season. It's time to check in with Jonathan Davis, who joins us Wednesdays from NHL Network. Hello, JD. Hope you had a great summer, my friend.
Pat, it's been fantastic. It's and I got to check out a little hockey this past weekend here, like many people did around North America and various spots. It wasn't as crazy as Montreal with 20,000 people, but nonetheless, six teams here in LA.
Yes, well, we were out in Penticton where there were four teams. The four Western Canadian teams were all out at the Young Stars Classic. We just got back on Tuesday morning. So, yeah, we were out there, too. We've already gotten plenty of hockey under the belt for the season, so ready to rock for training camp. We're going to go team by team through the Pacific Division here, but just overall, what's your feel on this division going into the year in terms of competitive level and good teams, bad teams, so on and so forth? What's your feel on the Pacific coming into this year?
Well, I think it's changed somewhat, Pat, because I think for me the biggest storyline would be Vancouver and the health of Thatcher Demko. I mean, for me that changes, the Canucks from being, a contender for, for top spot in the division again to just contending for a playoff spot, depending upon when he's able to come back. So, right now, that to me is the biggest story in the Pacific.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because that's going to completely throw off the entire balance of everything if he doesn't. Maybe as we go team by team, maybe let's start with Vancouver. And we've got the uncertainty with Thatcher Demko and don't know what their goaltending situation looks like. Start there, why don't you, in terms of your training camp season preview for this Canucks team.
Well, I think that outside of that situation, I mean, I like what they did in the offseason. I think they had a pretty good offseason, did the Canucks. They made the decision to walk away from Lindholm, but it allowed them to add depth to the roster with the moves that they made. And I think that, for me, I think that this is a big year for Petey. In reading some of the stories with Rick Tocchet, I think, Tocchet took some of it upon himself to say, hey, look, I got to make life a little easier. I moved this guy around in a lot of different spots, a lot of different line mates, and I need to help him out. So I think this is a big year for Petey. I do. Again, I like the Canucks, but, it's not going to matter a lot if it'll matter less if Thatcher Demko's not there.
Yeah, exactly, because that is, and I've seen this from a few people that I trust in Vancouver, and it's just kind of like everything's kind of irrelevant until, A, you know what's happening with Demko, and, B, until Demko's able to prove that he can play and stay healthy for 3 or 4 months in a row, right? Because even if he comes back, that's still hanging over you. It's like, okay, what save might end up knocking Demko back onto IR? You need to see him stay healthy and durable for a few months here before that worry is alleviated a little bit.
Absolutely. So, look, you're seeing that they're trying to bring in they're trying to add to their goaltending depth, try to just to give themselves an insurance policy. But, look, just to go back to the signings, I mean, DeBrusk, Daniel Sprong, Danton Heinen, three guys that, all can score, all give you, around that 20 goal range. And, it was interesting also, to read from, read Tocchet's quotes and talking about Daniel Sprong. And, the concern with Sprong is that, he had to convince Tocchet that this is a guy that should be given a shot that he's going to play both ends of the ice, because Tocchet's not going to let you cheat the game. So Rick Tocchet said that, he heard enough from Sprong to make him believe that this was a guy that they should pursue. I mean, look, all he does is score in a league that can be tough to score. So, I do like what they did. And I think even on the back end, Pat, the moves that they made, they're convinced that there's untapped potential with Desharnais. I mean, Desharnais played a good part of the season in Edmonton. He's not, they really feel that they're able to help harness some of the issues that he had foot speed wise to make him a guy to contribute to this team. So I do like the moves that they made, losing Zadorov. Now, I understand, the price was steep to keep him, but I think that this is a team that you know, I think they've done enough on the back end, you know, that they're good enough. The forward thing, yeah, I mean, his best days are definitely behind him, but, you know, I think you can spot him, and I don't think he'll hurt you too badly.
JD, let's go to your neck of the woods, SoCal and the California teams. Tell us, you know, you've kind of, your feel on Los Angeles has been really interesting over the last little bit, and it's turned out to be bang on. You're kind of like, where exactly are they? They've been good enough to get in, but they haven't been good enough to get past better teams. Where are the LA Kings going into this year?
Well, as I like to say, they are closer to the playoffs and further away from the Stanley Cup, Pat.
That's a good way of putting it.
In a nutshell. You know, I was going through some of the numbers again today, and one of the things that stood out is that their goals for 5-on-5 and goals against 5-on-5 are zero, come out to zero when you do the subtraction. I mean, you've given up as many 5-on-5. So it's a team that's relying on special teams. That was what helped push them through. There's a lot of questions here. You know, who's going to play on the top line with Kopitar and Kempe? Who's going to play with Quinton Byfield and Kevin Fiala? Is it now going to be Arthur Kaliev, who the Kings just signed today, finally got him signed, the restricted free agent? I don't know if that's going to work because I don't think there's enough pucks on the ice for both Kevin Fiala and Arthur Kaliev. Both these guys want to be able to shoot. So, and where does Tanner Janot and where does Warren Fogle fit? I keep hearing they're carrying 8 defensemen this year, Pat. You know, once you get past Doughty and Anderson, you know, where does Brant Clark fit in? You know, they made Brant Clark play in the rookie tournament, which Clark kind of, you know, when he was asked about it, wasn't very excited. You could tell he was not pleased that he had to play. And they also put the reins on. Like, they told this guy, you're not allowed to rush the puck. You're not allowed to go below the faceoff, go below the hash marks in any of these games. We want you focusing on defense. So we'll see how that pays off, you know, come, you know, through training camp, through the preseason and into the regular season. But, you know, you signed Joel Edmondson in the offseason, and I think Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun had one of the best lines when he saw the contract, I think for 3.8, he thought that was the total for the deal and not, you know, not per year. You know, you lose Matt Roy and you bring in Joel Edmondson, you bring in Kyle Burrows from San Jose. It's definitely a patchwork for them. So, and then the goaltending situation, you know, they're comfortable with David Rittich. They know what they're going to get with David Rittich. They were less comfortable with Cam Talbot. They let him go. And then obviously the big move for the LA Kings, they were, you know, Rob Blake escaped from the Pierre-Luc Dubois deal. He found a GM, you know, not as, you know, less bright than he is, I think, but you bring in Darcy Kemper, and, you know, Darcy Kemper lost his job to Charlie Lindgren last year, and he had a save percentage that was below 900. Now, granted, playing in Los Angeles, he's got a better D in front of him, but, you know, you talk about an aging Darcy Kemper. It's not the same Darcy Kemper that was here many years ago in L.A. So, I don't, you know, they're not any better in goal. Maybe they're exactly the same as they were last year, but, you know, again, if the goal is to win and to win a cup, this is what they keep telling everybody.
Yeah.
I don't see how they get there. And so again, more questions than answers with this team.
And let's stay in that neck of the woods. I've seen plenty of people talk about Anaheim as a team that, you know, might be ready to surprise some people this year. Are you one of those people that sees that potentially happening?
Well, I don't know what you mean by surprise. Does that mean they're not going to finish dead last, or does that mean they're going to, are you talking about them challenging for a playoff spot? I don't think they're there yet. I mean, there's still two big questions. There's three questions now in Anaheim. What's the future of John Gibson? What's the future of Trevor Zegras? And what's the future of Cam Fowler? Because, you know, as Elliot Friedman reported during the course of summer, it's, you know, there's been talk between Fowler and the Ducks about him, maybe they're also trying to find a new home for him with the plethora of young D that they have and giving Fowler maybe an opportunity somewhere else. You know, are they comfortable with Zegras? Like, I know that there's definitely maturity issues with Zegras. You know, that seems to be the consensus. The guy can play hockey. It's a matter of, look, you brought in guys like Radko Gudas and Alex Killorn for what they can help do to make this guy an NHL player off the ice and, you know, to groom this guy. Maybe they're not able to do it. Maybe they do have to move on. And in John Gibson's case, look, Pat Verbeek, from my understanding, has been reluctant to take on, you know, to take back any salary in a Gibson trade. I don't really understand it. I think I don't know how you make a deal otherwise without moving Gibson. You've got, you know, Leo Carlson. I thought, you know, they managed his ice time last year. A lot of promise there. You've got, you know, you've got Vetrano. You've got Strome, right? You've got Strome.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some pieces here. There's no question, but they're still, you know, surprise anybody? I think that a lot of other teams would have to take a real step back. If surprise means make the playoffs, no, I don't think that they're ready for that.
Right.
Could they play meaningful games at the beginning of March? That's a possibility, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay. Let's go to San Jose. The big story with the Sharks is obviously going to be Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and this new era of Sharks and how that starts to progress. They've brought in some players. Askarov was acquired. Toffoli was acquired.
Yeah.
What's your feel on San Jose going into training camp?
Well, I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. That's for sure. I mean, you know, at least there's a reason to come watch these guys. It's been a while, you know, for Sharks fans to have something to get excited about. Look, they scored 178 goals last season. That was 31st. That was 31st in the league. And yeah, so hopefully with, you know, that number will pick up with Smith and Celebrini. You know, but there's not a lot to get too excited about. I mean, you know, yes, they've got some other names. They brought in, as you mentioned, they brought in Tyler Toffoli. They brought in Wennberg. They brought in Barkley Goudreau, much to his frustration.
Yes.
And they brought, you know, and then, you know, you've added Jake Walman and Cody Ceci. So, you know, you've got some NHL players. And, you know, the Walman signing, getting Walman was great. I mean, the fact that Detroit let him go, you know, they're really hoping on one of their youngsters is going to be able to fit in. And maybe that was more about salary, but that was a good get. So I think that they've added some players that are going to make them a more competitive team this year for sure. You know, more competitive, what that means at the end of the day. You know, I think they're fighting with Anaheim again, you know, to finish at the bottom of the division, but there's definitely, you know, last year, I think that they would be more of an AHL team. This year, there is definitely it's more of an NHL roster, and now you've got
right.
You've got Blackwood, you've got Askarov, and Vanacek is your three goalies right now. And you know, look, Blackwood, I thought, you know, that there was a guy that had some big moments last year, but you know, the future, they're heading in the right direction. They did the right job. They, you know, they wanted to stink last year, and they more than exceeded expectations.
that's a very fair way of putting it. You know what? Let's put a pin on the other ones. Vegas, Seattle, Edmonton.
Okay.
We'll get into those next week, and we'll also have some other topics to dive into, as opposed to pushing it too far and needing to rush you. Why don't we put a pin on it next week when we chat? Why don't we dive into those three teams and what we've seen so far in training camp? That sounds like a good plan.
Works for me.
Enjoy the start of training camp in SoCal, pal. We'll talk to you next week. It's good to have you back, JD.
Always a pleasure. Hey, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the year ahead.
As are we. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, bud.
Jonathan Davis is our Pacific Division insider. He joins us Wednesdays on Flames Talk, spinning us around the Pacific Division. The Sharks might be the most interesting team in the division for me. Just because they've added some decent players. They've got these potential superstars on the roster. But, you know, Connor McDavid in year one, the Oilers were far from the playoffs. Sidney Crosby in year one, the Penguins didn't go anywhere close to the playoffs. Like, it takes time. We just saw Bedard in year one. The Blackhawks were still one of the worst teams in the league. People, you know, is Celebrini quote-unquote generational? Depends who you ask. Is he an elite hockey player? Yes, absolutely. And so, how quickly does that impact? You throw in Will Smith on that.
Yeah,
as
don't
well.
Sleep on Will Smith.
Absolutely. So now you've got your two centers for the future. How quickly does that actually start to manifest itself into on-ice results? Sometimes, I mean, year two with Crosby, Pittsburgh was a whole lot better. Year two with McDavid, same thing. Year two with Bedard, we'll see. And I'm not saying that Celebrini is quite in that
right
echelon, but he's still a very highly thought of number one overall.
Consensus number one,
right?
Like, far and away, he was the guy that was going number one. And then you add Askarov, who fits that youthful movement in net for the San Jose Sharks. And I'm not saying he's coming in and putting a 920 save percentage on things, but just those three pieces alone give you a reason to watch the San Jose Sharks.
Thanks to Jonathan Davis. He also joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. So we start to wrap up this hour, thanks to Vix and Connor and Cam. My name is Pat. And don't forget, at Atlas Pizza, dine-in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.